भूतानि भूमास्तिर जंगमानि तथाहर वेव गुण प्रवाह. Others? Ladies, yata, as, eva, certainly, suryat, from the sun, parbhavanti, is generated, varaha, water, punaha, again, cha, and, tasmin, unto it, pravisanti, enters, kale, in due course of time, Bhutani, all living entities, Bhumau, to the earth, Stira, not moving, Jangamani, and moving, Tata, similarly, Harau, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Eva, certainly, Gunapravaha, emanation of material nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. During the rainy season, water is generated from the sun, and in due course of time, during the summer season, the very same water is again absorbed by the sun. Similarly, all living entities, moving and inert, are generated from the earth. And again, after some time, they all return to the earth as dust. Similarly, everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in due course of time, everything enters into Him again. Purport. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, impersonalist philosophers cannot understand how everything comes out from the Supreme Person and then merges into Him again. As Brahma Samhita 540 confirms, Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shvashesha vasudari vibhuti binnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindamari purusham tamaham bachami. Transcendental rays emanate from the body of Krishna. And within those rays, which are the Brahman effulgence, everything is existing. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Mutstani sarvabhutani. Although Krishna is not personally present everywhere, his energy is the cause of all creation. The entire cosmic manifestation is nothing but a display of Krishna's energy. The two examples given in this verse are very vivid. During the rainy season, the rain, by rejuvenating the production of vegetables on earth, enables man and animals to obtain living energy. When there is no rain, food is scarce, and man and animals simply die. All vegetables, as well as moving living entities, are originally products of the earth. They come from the earth, and again, they merge into the earth. Similarly, the total material energy is generated from the body of Krishna. And at such a time, the entire cosmic manifestation is visible. When Krishna winds up his energy, everything vanishes. This is explained in a different way in Brahma Samhita 5.48. Yes yaika nishvasita kalam athavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata vishnur mahansa iha yasya kala vishesho govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. This entire material creation comes from the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the time of annihilation again enters into Him. This process of creation and dissolution is made possible by the breathing of Mahavishnu, who is only a plenary portion of Krishna. Gananjana Shalakaya Chachamitam Jena Tisley Sri Gurave Namaha Gangaro Divachalam Pungalangayati Giri Jitkripa Tamaham Ande Sri Guru Ninatarinam Paramanam Madhavam Sri Chaitanishwaram. Hare Krishna. So, as yesterday, Vaikuntha Nithai had a theme, faith. So it seems that the theme today is oneness. Two kinds of oneness. Spiritual oneness, which encompasses everything, and the oneness of this world. This world has described here one universal characteristic. Everything comes from the earth, and it all goes back. This theme we find in all different religions of the world. Those of you from Christian backgrounds may recall throughout the Bible how it is described, from dust you have been created, and from dust you return. Our esteemed Jayadvaita Maharaj has taken on a project to write a commentary on one of the books of the Old Testament, what Christians call the Old Testament, or what is actually not actually the Torah, but one of the books following the Torah, Ecclesiastes, or Koheleth. And there, Koheleth is known to say, all comes from dust, and all goes back to dust. Many of you may have heard that saying, from dust to dust, ashes to ashes. So in every faith in this world, there's an understanding that the material existence is simply a transformation from one state of dust to another state of dust and back to dust. It all is one in that sense. Now, Prabhupada takes us further. That this oneness that we perceive in material energy, this fundamental oneness of the material world, is an extension of the quality of transcendental oneness. That transcendental oneness is described here. Prabhupada refers to the Brahma Samhita. That this oneness, and I'll read the translation from the translated book. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. Good example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's deep use of the English language. The oneness of creation is simply an extension of the oneness of Krishna's expanded energy. You and I not only inhabit a material world which is one in quality, as we've been talking about, one in the quality of temporary manifestation. It comes into existence and then it stays for some time and then it goes back to where it came. So this oneness that we experience here is only a partial understanding of the actual oneness, the further oneness that you and I, each one of us, we are emanations of God. We are all, each one of us, part of this ray, this effulgence that comes out from Krishna. Like the sun distributing its light, we, living beings, we are eternally manifested parts, rays of the Supreme Lord. But as Prabhupada points out, the impersonalists, they can't understand that there is a difference between we, the rays, the effulgence of Krishna, and Krishna, the source. They ignore Krishna's statement. Very clear. Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives us here. I'm very bad in remembering Sanskrit, so I've got to go back to the... Matsdani, who knows it? Somebody give me the full... What do we have here? Matsdani Sarvabhutani. I printed it out just for this purpose, and now I can't find it. Okay, here we go. Bhagavad Gita, 9:4. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutina bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Whoa. How do the impersonalists just miss this entirely? I don't understand it. Anyway, I'll find some impersonalists and ask them some one day. But it's so clear, isn't it? Everything comes from me. It is all my emanation. It's all coming from me, but not Chaham, not me. I am not in it. I am not. I'm aloof. I am different. I am Krishna. I am Govinda. I am Adi Purusham. I am the original. You are also me, but you're not me. And don't forget it. Because when you forget it, this is where you have to come to live out this illusion of being the it, the source, the center. But we're not. We are simply emanations of Krishna. We exist for his pleasure, for his service, and we enjoy in that relationship. This is our oneness. And we should see not only that we are one with Krishna, but we are one with each other. We should always remember that. The Kanishta forgets. The Kanishta thinks, oh, I'm a devotee of Krishna. And focuses on, I'm worshipping Krishna. I'm worshipping Krishna. Get out of the way. I'm worshipping Krishna. And doesn't look around. That to everyone, all other living beings, all other living entities, all other parts and parcels of Krishna, we are all one in that quality of the emanations of Krishna, the energies of Krishna. We come into this world, since time immemorial, we cannot trace the time, and we wander. Ramanda Brahmeti Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. We wander this Brahmeti, this manifestation of Krishna. You want to hear an interesting word from Brahma Samhita? The tri-quadrantal glory of Govinda. But even the non-differentiated Brahman is only the external effulgence emanating from the boundary wall of the transcendental realm of Vaikuntha, displaying the tri-quadrantal glory of Govinda. I took a little, it was that struck, what do you mean by tri-quadrantal? But fancy way of saying the three quarters, you know, this expression that this world is simply one quarter of Krishna's energy. So the other is three quarters, tri-quadrantal. So it's just one corner. Now in this one corner, what happens? What does Krishna do in this quarter? He goes to sleep. He goes in that corner of his creation and he lies down and he goes to sleep. And as he breathes out, the entire cosmic manifestation comes into being. And then, and it's all finished. And again, and it's all manifest. And it's all finished. And in between each of those breaths, how many billions of years in our calculation? What is it? Somebody must know. You, Bardea. Trillion. Yeah. 300 trillion, 400 billion, something, 300 trillion, 400 billion years. And then again. And we think we're the center of the universe. We think we are, you know, great entities. We are going around, oh, I'm the president of the United States, or I'm, you know, the prime minister, or I'm the temple president, or I'm what is that? There's that beautiful story that Srila Prabhupada, I think, is it Kurunder that he's talking to? Who remembers it? Who? Kamal Krishna. Oh, perfect person. Those of you who know the blessed, holy, wonderful Tamal Krishna Maharaj will relate to this. How Srila Prabhupada was describing. I don't know if he began with the breath of Mahavishnu, but he described that within comes out this universe, and within this universe, within this, all this Mahatattva, there's so many universes, and then there's this one universe, and in this one universe, there is so many unlimited planets and places, and then there's one, all these unlimited planets and places, there's this one planet called Earth, and in this one planet called Earth, there's this one continent called North America, and in this one continent of North America, there's this one country of America, and in this country of America, there's this state of California, and in this state of California, there's this city of Los Angeles, and in the city of Los Angeles, there's this street. I think it was La Cienega at that time. And on La Cienega, there's this one building, and in this one building, there's this one apartment, and in this one apartment, there's this one person, Tamal Krishna, thinking, you are the Lord. Beautiful pastime of Srila Prabhupada. And here he says again, this process of creation and dissolution is made possible by the breathing of the Mahavishnu, who is only a plenary portion of Krishna. So we are very tiny. We are, in spite of this, full of vanity. I mentioned Kohelet. Kohelet is known for his recurring theme, Ecclesiastes, vanity. All is vanity. Anyway, many of you may have heard that from your Christian Western cultures. Because he recognized that it just keeps on going on and on, this cycle, this dirt, earth to earth, dust to dust. We build up a life, we work so hard, we accumulate this and that, and then it starts being taken away, the body starts to degenerate, it starts to crumble, and finally we just die. And the body that we've spent all our lives, we've spent all our breathing moments focused on the pleasure and the success of this body. And it's all finished. It's gone. Now we have received this understanding, this knowledge from Srila Prabhupada that it's not over with the death of the body. But what happens next? Another body and another. Not much difference. Okay, we're incarnating. We come back. But what happens? We're continually going in and out, in and out, in and out. Nothing remains. All is vanity. All our pride, all our sense of accomplishment and achievement in this material world, it's simply vanity. So here we have the wake-up call. Srimad Bhagavatam has descended in this Kali Yuga to wake us up, to bring us to the right, to the light, to the actual light, to the truth, the truth of who we are, the truth of where we are, the truth of where we've come from, and the truth of where we must go if we wish to have that which we want, which we all want. We all want to love, to be loved, to enjoy, to be enjoyed. To be enjoyed by Krishna. To be enjoyed by that Him from whom we have emanated. To fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our reason for existence. Why Krishna emanates this world and us? Eko Bahu Shyam, this is the statement of the, I think this is Vedanta, it's come from? I'm not sure. Vedanta. Eko Bahu Shyam. One becomes many. And then that Nityanam Nitya Nityanam Chaitana Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. This Bahu, from one eternal, so many eternals, from one cognitive entity. Cognitive bliss is the way in Rama Samhita it is given. Cognitive bliss. Conscious enjoyment. From one Nitya Nityanam Chaitana Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. All desire is fulfilled. All desire becomes fulfilled through this connection of one and many. This is Krishna's nature. So, we have this call. The Srimad Bhagavatam has given us the light to see who we are, where we are, where we've come from. Now we can take advantage and follow this light. The path has been lit up, we can follow it. Before I conclude, I wanted to share with you something that I thought you might find interesting. I got into looking into a little bit of the Christian idea, since this theme of returning to the earth as dust, because actually the term dust is not in the verse itself. It's just from earth to earth. But I kind of thought that, well, this is probably Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was educated in a Christian institution. So, and he's very familiar with the English language at the time. At the time of his education, was especially just Christian-based. So these type of sayings, dust into dust, and so on, he would have heard these. So, and again, as I said, there's so many references to this in the Bible. And then I thought, so I looked it up a little bit, and I found something very interesting, which I thought I would share with you, which is a kind of describing this, the nature of the soul in relationship to this, in terms of one Christian interpretation. Because if we, and this is, I'm sharing this with you because it's an indication of how one can take a message, the Lord's message. This is my, I'm just sharing with you my own perception, that the message of the Lord in the scriptures of other faiths is not different than the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is my belief and my conviction, that it cannot be different. That ultimately, essentially, the message, if it's the message of God, it must be one message in different varieties, different circumstances, different languages, but one message. And yet, hearing this person analyze various statements of the Judeo-Christian scriptures, comes up with a totally different meaning. This person that I was reading takes the mention of, and I'll just take the first thing, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I won't go into all of this, but basically this Christian theologian takes this to mean that when you die, God is withdrawing his breath, and it's it. That the soul is the result of God breathing into the innate matter, bringing it to life. When he withdraws it, then it's dead. And so from dust to dust, etc. And man has no existence. The soul has no existence other than by the gift of God. That's true. But you can see how this is, you can miss the point if you don't have the blessings of Guru. We can take scripture. This is just an example of Christian scripture. But the same thing can happen with our Vedic scriptures. That if we don't have the guidance of the devotees, the guidance of Guru and Parampara, we will end up like the impersonalists. We were just discussing that. How does this impersonal idea come about? It comes out because there's no guidance from the devotees. Without the guidance of the devotee, then you come to the wrong conclusion. Because we're impelled by our desire to enjoy this world. We're impelled by so many other material frames. We will come to a conclusion that supports that without the guidance of the devotee. So that was just a little footnote I wanted to add. And now we're time for questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening and bearing with me. I hope you got something. Hare Krishna. Yes, Gyanagami Prabhu. Is there a microphone so that the audience...
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Very nice class. I find it very interesting, this idea of the dust. I'm very much into the dust myself. And I'm questioning why a religious tradition would go so far off. And I find that tradition, that idea that you are dust, you know, when actually you are spirit, soul. There are three different types of Atma: the body, the mind, and the soul. So the body, yes, that returns to dust, but that's not who we are. We are not the dust. And so why the Bhagavatam is repeating this, it seems like lower information. It's a bodily concept, as opposed to simply coming out and stating you are spirit soul, your eternal spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord, part and parcel. Why do these other traditions stoop to it, and why does the Bhagavatam more or less reaffirm that you're dust? It's true, you are dust in terms of the Atma of the body, but why would we bother to distribute that kind of information when the higher principle should be the one that we're always addressing?
Well, how do we come to higher principles? Generally, most of us, we have to progress from lower principles to higher principles. So we have to, in other words, if we're stuck in a egoistic frame, if we're stuck in the egoistic platform of identification with this body as the self, then the first thing we need to get shocked out and say, well, what is that? What is the use of that? The body is simply a transformation of earth. It will go from earth back to earth. So your attachment to this body and your identification, it's simply vanity. This is this is to take the leaf from Ecclesiastes. It's a vanity of vanities, that we identify ourselves with this body and think that we're something of substance, and that our work is meaningful, and that we're achieving so much, and that we're, you know, important in any way in this world. It's all an illusion. So the first business of Scripture is to bring us out of that illusion and to bring us to the reality that this which you're identifying with is simply a will-o'-the-wisp. It's just a fleeting manifestation of temporary energy. So what are you so proud of? What makes you think that you're achieving anything? And hopefully, such a wake-up message will spur us to ask, is that everything? Is that all there is? And hopefully, if we have a little piety, we will be able to hear the next message. We'll have the piety to hear that, no, you exist independently of this world. You are a spiritual being. So that's my understanding, that there's a progression of thought. There's a progression of which, and it begins with coming to terms with the fact of our current state. If we're in denial, which most of us are, and we continue to be in denial, thinking that this life, this, you know, I am this, I am that, and we don't recognize that all of these designations are simply useless, temporary, meaningless, then we cannot go further. This process of bhakti, anya vilashita sunyam, jnana kamadhyaravitam, anya vilashita, this giving up of all kinds of designations in the material existence. So we have to, the first step is to get out of denial and realize this isn't what we think it is. And then we can go further to hear about our actual nature and begin to realize that. So that's my... Now, on the path, some people, you know, on that process, some people don't hear. They don't take the next step, or they hear from those who have chosen to try to... I'm speaking now of impersonalists who don't want to hear from Krishna directly. They accept the first principle, yes, we're not this body, etc., etc., but they don't want to surrender to God, so they find a way to answer the next question without him. Does that answer your question?
Good. Yeah, that's a good explanation. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu. Or here, Janani Vas?
So that example that God breathes a soul in, that could be a derivation from Mahavishnu's breathing. He
yes.
breathes and all the... enter into the material, the dust or the earth.
Yeah.
It could be a derivation from his philosophy.
Yes, that's when we see, this is the great gift of Srila Prabhupada. We can see, and this is, you know, it's our godbrother Jayadvaita Maharaj, one could question, why is he commenting on a Hebrew text? The fact that his name is J. Israel might have something to do with it, but anyway, I don't think so. No, those who know him know that the real reason is because he likes it. He likes the message of it. Being Jayadvaita Maharaj is very quick to point out our vanities. So he likes that message. But what's unique is that he's bringing the Vaishnava perspective. What he's doing is he's saying, okay, this is what Kovalev is saying. Kovalev means the teacher. So this is what the teacher is saying here. This is how the Vaishnava perspective illuminates the words of the teacher in this book. So similarly, as Janani Vas points out, we all are capable, with the knowledge we've received from Srila Prabhupada, the Vedic scriptures, we can go to all these other scriptures and we can find the truth. We can find the truth. Unfortunately, the other way sometimes doesn't work. It does. Some people who really, you know, get it to the essence, they can also see the truth in our Vedic scriptures, even though they choose a Christian or Islamic or Judaic path or whatever. But very often that is difficult. But we're very fortunate that in the light of the Bhagavatam, this immense light of the Bhagavatam, all truths are revealed. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I read from Upanishad, the Lord says that everything animate or inanimate that is within this universe is owned and controlled by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota. One should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. Please, I want to know, what is our quota?
What is our quota?
Yeah.
And what is not our quota? Of course, one person might say that, well, anything I have, that's my quota. Anything I can get, that's my quota. Because if I couldn't get it, it wouldn't have been my quota. That's one interpretation, which doesn't say anything. It simply basically ignores the statement. My understanding, and I'm not, you know, of this statement of one should accept what is his quota and not others' things, knowing, and the statement is Ishva Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatam Ishva Vasya. The Lord is the owner of everything. And the Lord provides our quota, what we need. And we shouldn't endeavor for that which is beyond what we need and require. That the message is that each one of us should see ourselves in this world as servants of God. We should see everything belonging to Him. We should see everything within this world as the property of Krishna. We should understand that whatever comes to us through our work, through our endeavor, is awarded by Krishna, ultimately. And it should be then used for His service. This, what we receive, if we receive in this way, this is, and we think of, we work in that consciousness, we endeavor in that consciousness that I am a servant of God, I must work, I must perform duties. This is the Vedic social arrangement, economic arrangement. Each one of us are born with certain natures, certain talents, certain abilities. These abilities are meant to be used in a productive way. The ultimate purpose being that Krishna is worshipped. So to worship Krishna, we have to grow food, we have to make places to stay for everybody, to be protected, we have to build temples, we have to do so many different things. So each one of us has some role to play, some work. Then in that work, each one of us, according to our work, according to our endeavors, we get something. And that's also provided by God. We should understand that it is coming, it is by His grace. Of course, God also teaches us sometimes that if we don't work, if we lay back and we become lazy, we may not get anything. And then we may suffer. And sometimes if we work very hard, we may get more than we need. We may, you know, get good wealth. Some people will work very hard and they will get some extraordinary results. And then what do we do? What do we think? This is mine now. God has given it to me, so it is mine. Let me enjoy. But this message is no. You have that which you need, yes. But if you get more than you need, you use it for Krishna's service. You know who it belongs to. You know that it's been given to you, not as your quota for enjoyment. You can understand the difference between what is my quota, what is my need, what is being given by God for my necessities, my maintenance, my requirements, which is different for each. Different individuals have different needs. Not that all is one. But we all, it's on each one of us to realize this, to understand this is what I need for a peaceful life of service, and this is what somehow by the grace of God I have received. Now let me use it for His service. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Dandavat.